I'll go ahead for that. Amen. All right, thank you. Y'all take your Bibles, please, and let's turn to James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. Hope you brought a Bible. Hope I can be a help to you. Hope I can be a blessing to you. I hope that you be edified and built up in the faith, and that's what we're here for. And I'm going to be in James chapter number 4. I'm going to read verse number 13 to 17 for you. And I want to talk to you about from the last verse in the chapter. I'll read that for you, and then we'll talk about some other things, all right? Verse number 17 of James chapter number 4 says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So I want to talk to you about to him that knoweth to do good. Doing good. That's what we're talking about today. Let me pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon these words, and I pray that you to help me this morning. I pray the Spirit of God would help me, quicken my mind, bring to my mind the thoughts and illustrations that would be helpful, and I pray that you would apply these things to the hearts of those who are here, your people. Help them, God, to be edified and built up this morning. Help us, God, to be a blessing to you and one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you for it. Amen. We're going to talk about what a Christian ought to do. The things that a Christian ought to do. We have Christmas coming up here soon. And the scripture that actually explains to us what Christmas is supposed to be about would be 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. And here's what it says. It says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." That's what you call the incarnation, that God became flesh. God became a man. There's a lot of things that go on at Christmas time. I'm not for them. I'm for the things that would glorify God, like the Bible, singing, music, all that kind of stuff. But Santa Claus, no, not for that. All this other kind of commercialization of Christmas, I'm not for that, you see. But the true meaning of Christmas is that God was manifest in the flesh. God came down to this earth and he became a man. He became flesh. And that's why we're here. The disciples, they were able to see him. He appeared to them. They felt him. They touched him. They handled him. They heard him and they saw him. You find that in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 1. And all that happened, it began in a stable in Bethlehem of Judea 2,000 years ago, and that's God coming into the world. That's God. You see, God intervenes in the affairs of men. A lot of times people don't understand it. They don't know what's happening until they look back. But God intervenes in the affairs of men, and God did break into the affairs of men. And he did for us what we could not do. I don't know anything about some of you. You're visiting, and I'm thankful that you're here. And I thank God for the privilege to speak to every one of you, to talk to you. If I don't know anything about anybody, I say some things like this. I don't know anything about you, but I do know this. I know that God loves you and that God sent his Son into this world. And he died on the cross and he bore your sins in his own body on the tree. And he wants you to be saved. He wants you to be able to come to heaven whenever you die, because there's a heaven, but there's also a hell. And whenever people die, they don't, you know, there's no second chance after that. You're going to leave your body, your soul's going to leave your body, and you go either up or down. But God has made it so that you can be saved. It's not hard. He sent his Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins. And if you will accept him, if you will receive him as your Savior, then you can have eternal life. It is the free gift of God. So God did what we could not do. He lived a sinless life. That's Jesus Christ. He never sinned. Then he voluntarily went to the cross in our place, and he paid the price for our sins, which was death, so that we all might have salvation as the free gift of God. It wasn't free to him, but it's free to us. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You cannot earn it, and we don't deserve it, but it's through His Son, Jesus Christ, and it's free to us because of the cross. Now because of that, if you become a child of God, see, then God has some things that He wants us to do. I was telling the folks in Sunday school this morning that salvation is free, but living for God is not free. It takes work. It takes work to be the right kind of Christian. Now, see, it's possible for somebody to get saved and they just sort of skip through life and they don't do right, you see. But God has rewards for people after they leave this life. You have to stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, and He'll hand out rewards, and people will wish that they had done better. I'm going to wish I'd done better in this life, you see. But therefore we ought to do the best that we possibly can while you're here, because we only have a limited time that you're here, as we talked about last week. See, so that's what we're talking about this morning. It says in our text verse number 17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." If you don't do good, let's back up and read verse number 13. It says, "Go to now, you that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." You see, so we are to do good because we are saved. You don't do good in order to get saved, but because you are saved. The Bible says to Christians in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." See, God has some good things He wants for us to do. He didn't say exactly what in this verse here. He just says, "Do good. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good. If he does not do it, to him it is sin." So we are to do good things because we are saved. Not just on Sunday, whenever you come to church, but all the time. All the time. That's what God has for us, you see. Now, we read, therefore, in verse number 7, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good." He connects doing good here in verse number 17 with what he said in verse number 13 and verse number 14. We are to do good because of verse number 14, he says, "Wherefore ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." So we are to do good because we do not know what shall be on the morrow. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Therefore, we are to do good, see. Even this very week, people have died and passed away. They did not know what was going to happen to them that night or the next day. Brother Mario's dad, he's not here today, went to the funeral in Mexico. His dad died. I think it's like Monday, you see. He did not know that would be the last day that he lived on this earth, you see. So therefore, because we do not know what shall be on the morrow, we are to do good. "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Because we don't know what day will be our last day. We don't know what shall be on the morrow. We don't know what's going to happen the next day. We think we do. We make plans, and there's nothing wrong with making plans, but things happen, and we don't know that they're going to happen. And the Bible says that your life is like a vapor. It appeareth for a little time, so therefore, do good. Do good while you can and while you have the opportunity, you see. We don't know what's going to happen. It connects it with these verses up here. We are to do good, and we're to start today. You know, a lot of times we plan on doing things out in the future sometime, but why not do it now? Why not start it today?
Amen.
While you have the opportunity, while you have the health and the strength to do it while you can. God puts us here. God puts us somewhere to do some good. And if we don't do it, the Bible says that it's sin. A lot of times God has given me the opportunity to do good, but I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I failed to do what I was supposed to. I was thinking about one of my daughters, Amber. She's talking to her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law is not saved. And she wants her mother-in-law to get saved. And so while they were down here for Thanksgiving, Amber and Clay were talking to their mother, and they had a little disagreement. They had a spat. They went home and they said things, you know, we're not going to talk to her anymore and all that kind of stuff, you know. But when Amber got back home, she lives in Montana, she called her mother-in-law, and she's talking to her, and she's talking to her about being saved. And she told my wife, she said, if I quit talking to her, then there's nobody else there to talk to her, you know. So she went on, and you know, she said, I'm not going to quit talking to her because nobody else will talk to her. And so you see, God put her there to talk and to do good. They got Clay's dad saved. We baptized him a year ago this 25th, you see. He got saved because they did something. They talked to him and they prayed, see. And so wherever you are, God has put you there to do some good. If you're saved, if you're a Christian this morning, God has put you there. If you're not saved and you don't know if you're going to heaven, then first off, you need to get saved. You see, but God's put you there to do some good wherever you are. The Bible says to him that knoweth to do good. The reason we don't do good is because of the evil of our flesh. The evil of our flesh. I want you to turn your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter number 7. And let me read a few verses for you. Romans chapter number 7, I'm going to start reading in verse number 14. And some of you get something from this and some of you won't. But the reason that we don't always do good is that this is because of our evil flesh. Look in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 14. It says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do." Verse number 16, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good." Verse number 17, "Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Verse 19, "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." Verse 20, "Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." You see, what Paul is saying right there is this, that we have two natures. We have a spiritual nature that loves God and wants to do good. See if you've noticed this in your life. But then we have this fleshly nature that does not want to please God at all. It wants to do its own thing, you see. Every Christian has that. We have two natures. The nature that loves God, wants to serve God, wants to do the right thing. But then there's something on the inside of us that is pulling us away and doesn't want to obey God at all, you see. And so that's the case with every Christian, if you've ever noticed that. You see, what you need to do is feed the spiritual nature within you. You need to feed that spiritual nature. That's why we come to church. That's why we should read the Bible, see. And that's why the Bible says that we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word so that we can grow. That's why we ought to talk to God. That's why we ought to listen to preaching. But if you feed on the world, the things of the world, man, it's gonna rob you, and you're not gonna have any desire for the things of God. You see, I see this all the time here. You got your Let me just borrow this. Can I borrow this for a minute? You know these little old things here? This is not a phone, but you know what I mean. Almost everybody all the time, the thing that's bad with our society now is everybody is looking either at a big screen on the wall or a little screen in their hand. You notice that? That robs you of the things, of closeness, you know, that we ought to have with God. It robs you. If you watch that big screen all the time, you know, there's nothing on there, you know, that's going to do you much good. And then when we're not looking at that, people are looking like this, you see. Some of my grandkids do this. None of them here. No, of course, not these grandkids, but some of my other grandkids. They come in the house, you know, and they kind of go over in the corner and curl up, and they sit there like this, you know. That's all they're doing. They don't talk to you. They don't say anything, just looking at this screen. What's on there? What is it that they're looking at, you see? Well, it's not anything good. And you take this thing right here, you take the Bible, to a lot of people who are supposed to be Christians, you know, they know everything about the phone, an iPhone. You know, again, I think that's what you call it. I've got an iPhone, and I know a little bit about it. But, you know, all the folks, they know everything that is to know about an iPhone, but very little about this thing right here, this Bible, see. This thing right here, this is the thing here that will feed you. This will feed your soul. This will feed your soul, see. The Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word. So you got to feed that inner man. You got to feed that inner man, see. Whenever you come to church, I'm supposed to feed you. But I can't feed you enough in what time that I have. You need to feed yourself at home, see. You need to feed yourself at home. The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So you gotta feed yourself. You gotta feed that inner man, that spiritual man. You gotta make him strong, because you know, otherwise you're gonna be weak, not gonna know anything about the things of God. You gotta feed the spiritual man. That's why we don't want to do the things of God, because this flesh here becomes stronger than the spiritual man on the inside of us, you see. It becomes stronger, and we want to just do what the flesh, says. Everybody's got this stuff, you see. Every Christian in here has got this fleshly nature, you know, and it doesn't want to obey God. But if you're saved, you also got the new nature on the inside, and you got to feed that new nature on the inside. You got to do what's right. You got to do what's right even when you don't feel like doing what's right, you see. You got to do what's right. You got to learn what the Bible says. You got to put some of this scripture, you got to put it in your head, you see. Write it, the Bible says, write it on the table of your heart. See, memorize it, and it'll do something in your heart. If you spend all your time scrolling around on that phone, it's not going to help a whole lot, you see. It's just going to fill your mind with a bunch of stuff that's not going to help any at all. Shut it off. People are addicted to that thing, you see. They're addicted to it. They even have to look at it in between church and Sunday school. You know, what did they say here, you know. They don't look at this. Look here, this is what God wrote. This is what God Almighty wrote. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God gave us the Bible, you see. But that other thing, what is it called? What's it called? It's called a net. Is that any kind of accident? It's a net. It's a worldwide net. What happens to nets? People get caught up in nets. It's called the internet. It's called a web. I don't think that's any kind of an accident, you see. People get caught up in those things, and they can't get out. This here will get you out. This here will keep you from getting caught up in the web, the devil's web, you see. Amen. And all there's a bunch of stuff on there people don't need to be looking at. There's a bunch of stuff on there people don't need to be listening to. There's a bunch of stuff on there that people are feeding their minds with, and it's just going to take them away from God, take them away from the things of God. The Bible says here, Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. He's supposed to do good things that God has given you to do, that God wants you to do, because verse number 14 says, you don't know what's coming today or tomorrow. So you got to do it right now. How about starting today? See, do the right thing today. So that's the reason that we don't, is because this fleshly nature that we have. I'll give you two or three things here. Number one, God does good things. God does good things. He brings good things to pass in our life. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God does good things. God does good things. He is a God who does good things for us. He does things for people who are saved. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, not Christ rejectors. He may be merciful to them, but he does good things. All things work together for good. He doesn't say when. He puts no timetable on it. It might be in heaven where you get, you know, things work out for you, see. But he brings good things to pass in your life. Therefore, he wants us to do good things, you see. And we know that all things work together for good. He's working things out. Bible says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ, you see. Whenever you got saved, God begun a good work in you, and he will continue to work in your life. If he's really in there, if Jesus Christ is really in there by his Spirit, then he's going to continue to work in your life until the day that you die. He's doing a good work in you. That's my point. And he wants to do good things in your life, and God is a God who does good things. Let me give you a second thing here, is that Jesus did good things. Bible says in Acts chapter 10, you can turn back over there with me if you would. Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38. Acts chapter number 10 and verse number 38, the Bible says this. Acts 10 and verse number 38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Jesus Christ, when he was here on the earth, the Bible says he went about doing good. He went about doing good. In Mark chapter number 1, there was a leper came to Jesus and kneeled down before him, and he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the Bible says Jesus Christ reached out and touched him, and he said, I will, be thou clean. You see, he went about doing good. He did good things. He's our example. We are to do good. In Mark chapter number 2, the Bible says how that Jesus was preaching in a house one day. In Mark chapter number 2 and verse 2, the Bible says he preached the word to them. There were people gathered around the house. The house was full, and they brought a man who had the palsy, I believe it was, and they couldn't get in to see Jesus, so they went up on the roof, and they tore the roof open, and they let this man down with ropes in front of Jesus, and Jesus forgave him of his sins and healed him there, see. Jesus Christ did good things while he was on the earth. He went about doing good. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. In Mark chapter number 5, there was a maniac of Gadara, and Jesus drove the unclean spirit out of him. In Mark chapter number 3, he calmed the storm there. See, wherever he went, he did good things. He did good all the way to the cross. All the way till he came to the cross, he did good things for others, you see. And so he is our example. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And these people were eyewitnesses of these things. They saw all of these things happen. Another thing I'd like to point out for you is this. Not only did God do good, not only did Jesus do good, but God expects us to do good. God expects for us to do good because of what God has done for us. If you're saved this morning, you see, God made us. God saved us. God has a purpose for us. He wants to do good. The Bible says if we don't do those things, then it's a sin. He shed His blood on the cross for us. He redeemed us. And now it's our turn. Salvation is free for you. But if you're going to be the right kind of Christian, if you're going to be a Christian at all, not just in name, then God wants you to do things. He wants you to do good in your life. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You see? So we should begin today to do good things. Wherever God has put you. I was telling the folks in Sunday school about being the salt of the earth, you see. If you're saved this morning, then God has put you there to do some good, to be salt, no matter where you are. And the Bible says if we're not salt, if we're not salty, if we have lost our savor, if we have lost our ability to influence those around us, the Bible says we are thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. If we live just like the rest of the world, if there's no difference between me, if there's no difference between me and an unsaved person, if there's no difference in you and an unsaved man or woman or boy or girl, there's no difference in you, then the Bible says we're good for nothing. We're just like salt that has lost its savor. It's been sitting upon the shelf and it gets hard and it gets crusty, you see. And you put it on food and it does no good. It has no taste. It has no flavor. He said, if we get away from God and we stop reading our Bible, we stop believing the Bible, we stop doing all the things that a Christian ought to do, then we're thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. And we are to be the salt of the earth. It doesn't take a whole lot of salt, but it takes a little bit of salt to do some good. And that's what God has put us here for, to be the salt of the earth, you see, to keep the world from its corruption, because the world is naturally going to go away from God. God's put you there if you're saved. He's put you there in order to push back the darkness, in order to stop the corruption of the earth, you see. So we're to be the salt of the earth, but if we're not any different from the earth, if we're not any different from the world, then we're thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. So he says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, if he does not do it, then to him it is sin, you see. Most of us, we know what we're supposed to do. We just don't do it. We just don't do it a lot of times. We could probably all say, I wish I'd done this, or I wish I'd done that, you see, after it's already done. But you know what? We ought to start. We ought to start doing the right thing. Because if you're going to do something, you got to do it today. I've told you about my mother before, and that little list that she had, and she had planned on doing things the next year after, but she died before. She died at the end of the year. She didn't get to do anything, so I preached a sermon one time on do it today. Do it today. How about reading your Bible through next year? Spend 15 minutes a day you can read your Bible through. Spend 15 minutes a day. You say, well, I'm going to one of these days. One of these days, man, I'm going to start reading that Bible. Yes, sir, I'm going to start reading that Bible, and I'm going to read it all the way through. You need to get it read through before you die, that's for sure. You need to get it read through before you die. It'd be better if you got it read through a bunch of times before you die. Amen. Now would be the time, see, to him that knoweth to do good. To him that knoweth to do good. How about if you're here and you're not saved? You say, well, I'm going to get saved one of these days, but you don't know what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You don't know what's going to happen. Today might be the last day that you have on this earth. If you're going to get saved, then you need to get saved today. Bible says you're a sinner, and if you die without Jesus Christ in your sins, that you'll go to hell. But God doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to come to heaven. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins. And He will save anyone who will come to Him. Just come to Him, believe on His Son, and call upon His name, and He'll give you eternal life, you see. That needs to be done now, today, because you don't know what shall be on the morrow, see. Now is the time to begin to do good, to do the right thing. It should be done now, you see. That's what He's talking about. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. How about starting to read your Bible? How about starting to do that now, see? How about deciding that you're going to bring somebody to church to hear the gospel this next year, in the year 2018, see? How about start now and learn how to witness to somebody? Learn how that you can go up to somebody, and now I know you can't do that if you're not saved, but you folks that have been around for a long time, you've been saved. Oh, you're saved. You've been saved, and you know that you're saved, but how about learning how to speak to somebody? How about learning a few verses of Scripture, see? How about learning those kinds of things where you could go up and talk to somebody and say, look, I'd like to tell you about Jesus Christ. I'd like to tell you about my Savior, see? Don't you think that'd be a good thing for you to learn in this next year? That'd be a good thing for you to do, see? That'd be something good. How about saying, I'm gonna pick up somebody and I'm going to bring them to church. I'm going to do that this year. I'm going to make sure that they have a ride to church. I'm going to make sure that they're coming to church. I'm going to make sure that they have a friend whenever they come to church. They don't come and sit by themselves and nobody speak to them. And you should never let anybody do that, by the way, anyway. You should speak to everybody that you can and talk to them and be friendly to them that you can see. But how about say, I'm going to befriend somebody this year. I'm going to make sure that I help them to grow in the faith. I'm going to go over to their house and teach them the Bible if I need to, see. How about doing those kinds of things? You've got to start now because you don't know what shall be on the morrow. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, but he doesn't do it. He doesn't do it. Why? Doesn't say why. He's just too busy. He's just too busy, or he thinks he's too busy, see. I've done that before. I thought I was too busy. Or I thought the situation is not just right and I didn't do it. And I didn't do it, see. How about you moms and dads? How about you start a family altar? You do something good for your house. How about you read the Bible at home with your kids? You don't have to do anything fancy. You don't have to do anything fancy, but you can get people together, your kids and family together, and you can read a chapter in the Bible. And then you can pray, and your kids can see that you believe the Bible. Your kids can see that you want them to grow up and be a Christian instead of going out and doing, you know, whatever is going to come. See, if you don't raise them right, you don't know what's going to happen to them, see. You don't know. So why not? How about doing good? Start a family altar. You're going to pray every day and you're going to ask the Lord to help you, see. You don't have to pray an hour. You don't have to pray 30 minutes. I mean, it'd be okay if you did, but most people are not going to do that. If they pray a few minutes, they're doing pretty good. If you pray 5 minutes, you pray 10 minutes, that's good. You can get a lot done in a few minutes, you see. But the Bible says that we are to pray all the time and pray without ceasing. I was waiting for Jeff to give me the scripture. Pray without ceasing, you see, all the time. And so he says that we are to do these things. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And the thing is, he wants us to start now because we don't know what shall be on the morrow. If you're not saved, you need to get saved today because you don't know what shall be on the morrow. You don't know what's going to happen. Is this be the last day of your life? This be the last day on this earth for you? Nobody knows that. Maybe you'll be here next week, and maybe you won't be here next week. So start today. Do the right thing. You're going to meet God. You're going to meet God. You're going to stand before God one of these days. All of us will. And so do the right thing. All right? Let's bow our heads, please, for just a moment.